Welcome to day 205. Shavua Tov. We are up to Perachas Mishnah Dalet, and today we're going to be introduced to a new halacha, one that is sourced in our Mishnah. The exciting part about starting Mishnahs from the start, starting Shas from the beginning, is that when you see a new halacha, that first time that you see it, that's the source. So that's very exciting. Even though this halacha doesn't really apply much anymore, which we're going to see later on, still, it will come up many times throughout Shas. So the basic background is that apparently where Chazal lived and when Chazal lived, snakes and venomous snakes were very prevalent. So if you left some liquid uncovered, you had to be concerned that it was either likely or at least there was a good chance that a snake may have come by and may have drunk from that water and left some venom behind. So you don't have a kashrus issue. There's nothing to do with being kosher or not, but there's a sakanos nefashrus issue. There's a health issue that it can be quite dangerous, obviously, to drink from something in which there is poison or venom left behind. So says the Mishnah, yayin shel truma sheniskale. If you have wine of truma that was left uncovered, yishafech, you have to spill it out. And the chiddush, what the Mishnah is teaching us, is that even though usually truma is not allowed to be wasted, it's not allowed to be destroyed, we know that a kohen can only, when it comes to truma liquids or foods, you can only either eat it, drink it, or rub it on one's skin. So in this case, you'd have to drink that wine. And even still, the Mishnah says, no, if it was left uncovered, you spill it out. And you certainly don't have to point that out if it's regular wine. If it's wine shalchulin, of course you have to spill that out because there's no problem of destroying regular wine. And the Mishnah is teaching exactly this halacha, that even though there's a halacha that you should not be wasting truma or destroying truma, the concern, the sakanas nefashos, the health concern, even though we know it's not for sure, we don't even know that a snake came by, but the possibility of sakanas nefashos outweighs the halacha of not destroying truma. So you'd have to spill out the truma wine just like you'd have to spill out regular wine. Continues the Mishnah. There are only three liquids that are usher, that are prohibited if they are left uncovered, meaning only three are susceptible to this halacha: hamayim, water, v'hayayin, and wine, v'achalav, and milk, ushar kol hamashkin mutarim. But all other liquids, if they were left uncovered, you do not have to worry about it. Apparently, it was very unlikely that a snake would drink from any of those other liquids. Really, just wine, milk, and water was what you'd have to be concerned with. Kama yishuv v'yu asern. So how much, for how long should, if you left something, would there be a problem? Meaning, how much time would have to elapse in order for it to then become usur? Says the Mishnah, kadesh yetzei harachash mimakom kara v'yishta. For enough time for a snake, in this case it's called the rachash, enough time for a snake to leave its place and come close and to drink from that water. So however long that is, we certainly say that if it's overnight, but usually if you leave the place for a few minutes and there's enough time for a snake to come drink and then leave that place, so then we assume that the water or the wine or the milk is usur. Now if you look at the halacha in your Yoredeya, Simon Kuftez Zayin, so the Mechaber, Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, quotes this halacha, but then says that we actually don't follow it anymore. Meaning it's not noheg bezman hazeh. We don't customarily follow this anymore because there are no snakes around, because it's not really a concern. So it's one of those areas that really is quite fluid in halacha, that the concern really was only sakanas nefashos, is purely a health concern, and because that health concern really doesn't exist anymore, we do not have to worry about that halacha. So if you leave a cup of water uncovered overnight, no problem. Forget even overnight, certainly if it's a short amount of time, but even overnight, there would be no problem. Unless, of course, you live in a place in which there's another health concern, another sort of animal that might drink from it, you'd have to be concerned. Other than that, in Kuftez Zayin, really, in Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch says you don't have to follow anymore. What's fascinating is that there are other areas of halacha in that very siman, in Kuftez Zayin, other areas in which there are certain prohibitions around food that seem to be health related that don't seem to be true anymore, and still those halachas do apply. So it's interesting to know, why is it that this doesn't apply but other areas do? The second Sif, if you look at that siman, the second Sif is about eating fish and meat together, which the Gemara seems to say is a health issue. We know that it's not a health issue anymore. So why does that still apply? So most likely because that may not have been the only issue. There's a question in halacha, the poskim say, was it really a health issue, or is the Gemara also talking about maybe some sort of spiritual issue? So if there's a spiritual issue, so it doesn't matter that from a science perspective, it's not an issue. There might be another issue at play. In this case, we know it is purely a science issue. It's purely a health issue. And therefore, once that's gone, we can say that the halacha no longer applies. That is Mishnah Dalet. Says Mishnah Gimel, Shir Hamayim Megulon. So how much liquid needs to be left over in order for it to be a problem? Kadesha Tovar Behem Hamara. In order for that, for the Mara, for the venom to be lost. There's a question on how to read that line. But we're going to say that as long as there is enough water, or I guess there isn't enough water for the venom to be mivatel, to be nullified. And we don't know how much that is. We don't know how much a snake usually leaves in, but apparently they knew, meaning they were living with this. So they knew if there was enough water, enough milk, enough wine to mivatel the venom, so then it would be no problem, meaning enough to overcome. We don't know what that shear is again, but they knew apparently from a scientific perspective. The other way of saying it is that actually the more you have, the worse it is, because then you can no longer tell that there's venom inside. And if you have less, then you might actually be able to see the venom, and therefore that would be okay, because then you would know it's there and you wouldn't drink it. But if it's more, the venom would still be quite potent, but you wouldn't be able to see it. So that, but two different ways of looking at it. We're going to assume that it's about more is better, because then it's mevatel. Continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi Omer Bekelim Kolshein. If it's in a vessel, then it's any amount, because apparently it doesn't matter how much. You can have a ton of water and a ton of wine, a ton of milk, and still the venom would be quite potent. But if a karkos arbaim sa, but if it's in the ground, meaning if there's, let's say, a ditch in the ground and it's filled with water and you're not sure if a snake drank from that, so then it's 40 sa. Apparently, more than 40 sa would then be bevatel the venom. And the reason seems to be that something in the ground, perhaps whatever it is in the ground, would actually help to compromise the venom. So the more, if it's in the ground, so then there is a point in which it can be mevatel with that larger amount. But if it's just in a kli would always remain potent. The venom would always remain potent, and therefore any amount, it could be a huge, huge, huge amount of water, it would still not be mevatel the venom. That is Mishnah Hey. We'll continue with Mishnah Vav tomorrow.